Wake up, Coastal Carolina. Wake up. This is your CCTA Wake Up Call.
Produced by the Coastal Carolina Taxpayers Association, a nonprofit, nonpartisan organization dedicated to the preservation of the U.S. Constitution, free enterprise, and individual liberty.
Hello, Coastal Carolina, and welcome to CCTA Wake Up Call. I'm your host, Rick Hopkins, and again, it is my pleasure to be with you to share some conservative news and information that we feel is very important for you, the public, to know. Tonight, we have a very special guest to talk about a very important topic, and our guest tonight is Craven County Sheriff Chip Hughes. And he is here with us along with our regular panel of Bob and Mary Griswold.
Hello.
Hello.
Melissa Potter.
Hello.
Howard Rainer James.
Hey there.
And me. And we're going to get right into it because it's a hot topic. We've had a lot of people that are interested in this subject. And so we're going to try to get some answers from Sheriff Hughes as far as how it applies to Craven County. The topic is the National School Board Association, a union of school teachers and school officials, wrote a letter to Joe Biden, president. And I'm not going to read the whole letter, but I'm going to give you the gist of it. And it's referenced federal assistance to stop threats and acts of violence against public school children, public school board members, and other public school district officials and educators. It says, Dear Mr. President, America's public schools and its education leaders are under an immediate threat. The National School Boards Association respectfully asks for federal law enforcement and other assistance to deal with the growing number of threats of violence and acts of intimidation occurring across the nation. Local school board members want to hear from their communities on important issues, and that must be at the forefront of good school board governance and promotion of free speech. However, there also must be safeguards in place to protect public schools and dedicated education leaders as they do their jobs. National School Board Association believes immediate assistance is required to protect our students, school board members, and educators who are susceptible to acts of violence affecting interstate commerce because of threats to their districts, families, and personal safety. Now, it goes on and on and on, but the gist of it is they have asked the president to ask the Department of Justice to step in and help protect people against these perceived acts of violence.
And the FBI and the CIA. Well, not
right.
The CIA,
but well, they want to take it right down to the local area. Local law enforcement is why we have Sheriff Hughes with us. Justice Department, the Attorney General Merrick Garland on October 4th, in response to this request, announced a concerted effort to target any threats of violence, intimidation, and harassment by parents directed toward school board members, teachers, and other personnel. Hmm. Well, now the question I have, first of all, Chip, thank you for being with us. It's always our pleasure to have you. Have you had any threats of violence, intimidation, or harassment reported in Craven County?
Absolutely none have been reported to my office. And as you know, I have fought hard to get SROs in all of our public schools in the county. And I'm very glad that, you know, all of them in the county, with exception of two in Havelock, are SROs from my office. They do a great job. They're passionate about what they do. And we have had zero reports of any threats, violence, any of the stuff that you've listed here. So, you know, I'm kind of wondering where this came from, you know, what city, urban city, this might have come from, where maybe local law enforcement has not done their job, or, you know, so it's really, I was kind of surprised to see this, you know. Well, I mean, it's not that we're sheltered here in eastern North Carolina. I think we do a great job, but I'm not seeing this.
Are you seeing any notices from the Justice Department offering you assistance or asking for you to report any incidences of violating these things?
No, absolutely not. Right. And look, I work closely with the feds, Homeland Security, FBI, DEA. you know, all of them, and ATF. But all of that is in regards to, you know, narcotics and stuff like that, that are real threats, credible threats, that are taking lives in our county. So, but absolutely nothing in regards to what you read and or that entire document. And I've read it all.
Okay. Well, the reason I ask you that is because of this Office of the Attorney General memorandum that he put out on October the 4th.
Right.
The subject is partnership among federal, state, local, tribal, and territorial law enforcement to address threats against school administrators, board members, teachers, and staff. And down in the 1, 2, 3, 4th paragraph, coordination and partnership with law enforcement is critical to implementing these measures for the benefit of our nation's nearly 14,000 public school districts. To this end, I am directing the Federal Bureau of Investigation, working with each United States attorney, to convene meetings with federal, state, local, tribal, and territorial leaders in each federal judicial district within 30 days of the issuance of this memorandum. These meetings will facilitate the discussion of strategies for addressing threats against school administrators, board members, teachers, and staff, and will open dedicated lines of communication for threat reporting, assessment, and response. So 30 days from the October 4th, they're expecting that to take place, and it looks like they're expecting you to report back any threats and things like that.
Right. So, obviously, I don't report to the feds. I report to the people of Craven County.
Okay, and good answer.
And I'm here to report that our schools are very safe. We're not having threats to our teachers, our students. Our SROs do a great job. I have no problem in working closely with federal agents, as we do, as we go after gang members, drug traffickers, that sort of thing. But in regards to this, I don't need their assistance. They have not asked for my assistance. And if they do contact us, my response is going to be, we don't have a problem here.
All right. Well, as usual, they throw these accusations out there with no evidence attached to it. It hits the news media, makes big headlines, and makes it sound like the whole country is in turmoil with these problems.
Right.
And you just let us know that not here in Craven County.
Well, I mean, I don't report to the Attorney General of North Carolina or the United States.
Right.
I report, like I've said, and we all know, I report to the county, the citizens of this county.
Good, good. Rainer?
Rick, I think a close reading of these two documents leads one to believe they are giving lip service only to free speech. They do not want parents and taxpayers to interfere with how they're running the schools. They want masks on the children, they want to teach critical race theory, and they don't want to hear a whimper from anybody about it. They are snowflakes. When people say in no uncertain terms, you are teaching trash, garbage, you're hurting all the children, this needs to stop, that to them is a threat.
As evidenced by
interpreting free speech and a clear statement of fact and opinion by members of the public, including parents and taxpayers, as a threat, which it is not.
Also, as evidenced by what's happened in the past week or so, our lieutenant governor standing up against it,
yes,
and being attacked viciously,
yes,
for taking a stand against them.
And misquoted.
Yes.
I know we're not having an issue here in Craven County, thank God, but has anyone seen violence at a school board anywhere reported? I mean, this seems like a really big step to take. You know, to initiate this, there's obviously been manpower put into it. And, you know, with everything going on right now with our education system, this is what they're focused on. But I have not seen any clips, or I've seen people get heated,
okay,
and
yes,
passionate and that's about their children's education.
That's where you have to look closely at the language here. When they say an effort to target any threats of violence, intimidation. What is intimidation?
I think that's
snowflakes.
That's open for interpretation.
Easily intimidated, believe me.
I think it's just anyone who's against what they want to teach.
Intimidation is anyone who disagrees with me.
And they're going to be. I'm a mama bear. I mean, you go after what my kids are going to learn. I get very passionate, and you're going to hear me. So that's, but I'm not going to be violent.
That's threats of violence, intimidation, and harassment. Now, what is harassment?
Calling them to get an answer constantly.
Okay. And then it goes on to say, by parents directed towards, what about school board members directed towards parents?
Mm-hmm. Oh, well, I've definitely seen some videos of that. Yes. Absolutely. Yeah.
Where they sit and like they're above you, uh-huh, and you don't have a right to speak, and no, your time's up, you're cut off.
And they're ugly. And
yes,
if they realize the whole room's against what they're saying, they'll shut the meeting down and get up and walk out.
Right.
I've seen that repeatedly.
All right. Well, those are some of the issues that we wanted to cover. There are certainly other things going on. Hal?
Rick, what I think about this letter from the Office of the Attorney General is this. We all know that the strategy of the liberals has always been to never let a good crisis go to waste. I think this is taking that philosophy one step further and creating a crisis where none exists.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Well, I'll be back in touch with you, Chip, as we get closer to the end of the 30 days to see if they follow through on their directive.
If you receive any threats or feel threatened when you're passing a school, if you would give me a ring and I will run right over and we'll address the situation. But, you know, it would be interesting to see, you know, where this came out of, because to do a blanket statement across the United States that they're going to implement whatever they plan on doing here about how we can better safeguard our schools is, you know, I'd love to see what prompted that.
It's big, right?
So, I mean, when you're talking about tying up this type of resources, and no one is more passionate about school safety than I am, and, you know, and my SROs. But to call up the guard, if you will, mm-hmm, on this thing is, I don't, you know, what have I missed? Where's this stuff going on?
Exactly. That was.
And if it is, and those locals have called for federal assistance because it's more than they can handle, we'll deal with that in that area. But to tie it up in areas where we aren't having problem, i.e. Eastern North Carolina,
right?
I've talked briefly with my surrounding sheriffs about this, and this is all just kind of news to us.
Right. What you do about nothing.
Correct.
Well, now, in larger populations of the state, like Charlotte and some of the western areas of the state, I think there have been some media reports of things going on there, but then it's subjective to what is harassment? Yeah. What is intimidation?
And then you throw the media into the mix.
Yeah, right. I mean, you say that, like the media reports,
yeah,
but there has not been no proof of, hey, they received this email or this threat, you know, that threatened them or intimidated them in this way. There has been no proof shown about that. It's interpretation. And let's talk about the media. This poor guy, Mr. Smith, in Loudoun County was arrested. He was the poster child of how horrible these parents are being in these school board meetings in January. The mainstream media had to put him on every single clip of the outrageousness of how parents react. And he was arrested and dragged out of there. This week is the first time the story comes out of what really happened. Mary, what happened?
His daughter was sexually assaulted in the school, in the ladies, well, what used to be the ladies' room, by a transgender male wearing a dress.
Well, he was gender fluid.
Oh, gender fluid.
Okay. I mean, that's a way to play the game, right?
And evidently there was another incident that happened in an empty classroom with another student being sexually assaulted. And the school
did... 15-year-old did it.
I don't know that.
Yes.
It was the same 15-year-old boy.
Okay, yeah. He was transferred quietly. Now, this is the thing. The bathroom in this county, and this is why the parents were there so upset with the school board, it was named where if you felt like you were a girl, you could go in there. And he took advantage of that. And I see we have to take a break, and we'll come back and finish this up here.
All right. You're right. We do have to take a break to hear from our sponsors. We'll be right back.
Torque Transmission and Automotive Repair is the transmission physician in the New Bern area. If you're experiencing transmission problems, call Charles Grover at 252-637-2399 or stop by the shop on 17 South in New Bern. Torque can install a new or reconditioned transmission, or they can rebuild your transmission if that's what you prefer. See Torque for a variety of minor automotive repairs like brakes, tune-ups, and water pump. You can count on Torque Transmission and Automotive Repair.
For news, commentary, and a different perspective, check out RightWingGranny.com. Hey, Granny's got it going on. See for yourself. Go to RightWingGranny.com.
The God and Country Christian Alliance has a simple mission, but it is a profound one. They want to inform and educate the public on issues of moral and political concern. They want to restore the Judeo-Christian values upon which this nation was founded to all levels of government. And they want to encourage and activate pro-family voters. Simple, but not easy. The God and Country Christian Alliance meets the third Monday of every month at Moore's Barbecue on MLK in New Bern. Meetings begin promptly at 7 p.m. and end by 8:30. To enjoy dinner with the group before the meeting, arrive between 6 and 6:30. Both the food and the company are good. Meetings include speakers and discussion, and their annual banquets are legendary. Join them on the third Monday of each month for a refreshingly candid view of the world and our place in it.
Just who are these people doing this CCTA program? They're people like you, a photographer, someone that ran their own business, someone retired from the military, just people in the community that love this country and have a desire to do their part to lower taxes and shrink government, to protect individual liberty, and to preserve the U.S. Constitution and free enterprise system. We welcome you to come out to a meeting. If you like what you see and hear, there's a place where you can contribute to the cause. To learn more, go to cctaxpayers.com. That's cctaxpayers.com. The group meets every third Tuesday at Stanley Hall Ballroom in downtown New Bern to enjoy a fantastic speaker and report on CCTA activity since the last meeting. If you've been disappointed with rising taxes and government intrusion, don't just complain. Join Coastal Carolina Taxpayers Association and make your voice heard.
Welcome back to CCTA Wake Up Call. Well, again, we have special guest Chip Hughes, Sheriff of Craven County, with us, and we're talking to him about the letter sent to President Biden by the National School Board Association. But before we go on any further with that, Melissa, go ahead and finish the story you and Mary were telling.
Yeah, just to say that that school board meeting and why those parents were so passionate is because that school implemented a policy against the parents' wishes that that bathroom could be gender fluid. And so if you felt like you were a female, you could go in there. And this guy, you know, sometimes wears a skirt to school, sometimes wears jeans, whatever. He went in there and did something really horrible to this 15-year-old girl. And the way it was put is that it was the most vile and horrible thing that could be done right to another human being. And the school quietly transferred this student to another school. And he is now under investigation for doing it to another girl at that school.
Yep.
And that is what that man was so upset about. Who can blame him?
And they covered it up. I think that's the most
that's
annoying.
That's the worst thing.
But he got arrested.
For being
he
a passionate.
Got arrested, the father did.
But for being a protective father.
It wasn't a he said, she said. They got her to the hospital.
No, there's evidence. Yeah, exactly. There is no doubt. Yeah. There is evidence.
That absolutely happened.
Where are the feminists? Don't girls have a right to be safe in the ladies' room?
You darn tootin' they do.
Well,
I mean, that's the
right
obvious.
Be safe everywhere.
Everywhere.
Yeah, I like that too.
But especially, you would think you're extra safe.
Yes.
In the girls'
room. At school.
Yes.
Correct.
And the fact that they quietly transferred him because it is a LGBTQ thing, I'm just going to say it because that's what it is. They didn't want the backlash from that. And this poor little girl, she is a ninth grader. She is a little girl. She is scarred for the rest of her life.
She is.
Disgusting.
I agree. It's a horrible situation that we find ourselves in. And look how quickly it happened. Just a few short years ago, this would have never been, you would have never suspected.
The FBI getting involved in quelling our free speech, allow it to happen. No matter what they send, where they send them, we need to tell it like it is.
Go ahead, Bob.
You know, I'm going to refer back to the New York Sun has an editorial today on the 13th. And in back in 2011, Justice Clarence Thomas and Justice Breyer were dissenting opinions in a court case. I think it's called Brown versus Entertainment Merchants. But Justice Thomas finally summed this up. The freedom of speech as originally understood does not include a right to speak to minors without going through the minor's parents or guardians. Justice Thomas concluded it would no doubt be an error to make too much of these words. Justice Thomas was, after all, alone in his dissent. But you, the school boards, need to involve the parents in the education.
It goes, it's much worse than that, Bob, not just the freedom of speech of speaking to the children. They are actually vaccinating kids in school districts without parents' permission or knowledge and wanting to perform sex change operations on the kids without the parents.
Well, they provide the hormones at the school. The school nurse will, you can quietly go to the school nurse and say, this is my wish, and they will not let the parents know. So, and they will provide you with the hormones.
That's part of the plan for the village. It takes a village, okay, and the parents aren't included. All right. All right, I'm going to jump back to this letter that the National School Board Association sent to the president. Again, we're talking about the language. As these acts of malice, violence, and threats against public school officials have increased, the classification of these heinous actions could be the equivalent to a form of domestic terrorism and hate crimes.
Love it.
Okay. So now if you go to a school board meeting, and by their definition of intimidation or harassment, you have hurt their feelings, you are now to be classified as a domestic terrorist.
Now, isn't this interesting in the fact that last week, Kristen Sinema was followed into the ladies' room, and Joe Biden described it as part of the process.
Those things happen, he said.
Yes. So if you can follow a senator into the ladies' room and harass her and not get in any kind of trouble, then where does the school board get off trying to squelch the speech of parents?
Well, they aren't trying, they're actually doing it.
Domestic terrorist, I mean, it's kind of like the word, like, racist has become, right? It just has lost its meaning.
Yeah.
You know, when they said it January 6th, I was taken back. I was appalled. Are you kidding me? That is what they're calling people who are protesting and standing up for their rights.
Tens of thousands of people that went to peacefully protest against a stolen election were now classified as domestic terrorists.
Right, and it was
just
shocking.
Just because they were in the District of Columbia.
Exactly.
Now, when I think it was last weekend, there was another rally there at the Capitol to support those that are already locked up, have been for almost a year without charges filed against them. They're being held prisoner, some in solitary confinement. They put up defenses, brought in the National Guard, all the Capitol Police and all that for a few hundred people showing up. But did you hear about what's been going on the past week? The White House has been surrounded. There's been violence. There's been destruction of property. And it's all by environmentalists attacking and saying to Joe Biden, if you don't do this or you don't do that, we're coming after you. Where's the media? There were no fences put up to prevent that. There were no troops brought in to prevent that. It's a one-sided thing.
It is. It is. It's absolutely one-sided. And then for them, now they want to, I think it's a new talking point. You know, you used to be a white supremacist. Last year, it was a white supremacist, right?
Yep.
That's what we all were. Now this year, the new talking point is domestic terrorists.
It may be one-sided, but it's two-faced.
All right. I'm going to jump back in here to continue with the statement they were making here in this letter. As such, NSBA, National School Board Association, requests a joint expedited review by the U.S. Department of Justice, Education, and Homeland Security, along with the appropriate training, coordination, investigations, and enforcement mechanisms from the FBI, including any technical assistance necessary from and state and local coordination with its National Security Branch and Counterterrorism Division, as well as any other federal agency with relevant jurisdictional authority and oversight. So they're trying to push their authority down on you, Sheriff Hughes, and they want you to get on board with them.
I'm glad to hear that.
And Sheriff, we stand with you.
Thank you.
That phrase that they've thrown in a couple times, interstate commerce, I think that's intended to give them jurisdiction. What does it have to do with interstate
well,
commerce?
Well, I'm getting into what their jurisdiction is because they're calling out all the laws that have been, all the rulings. They're not all necessarily laws, but mandates, whatever you want to call them. Additionally, they request that such review examine appropriate enforceable actions against these crimes and acts of violence under the Gun-Free School Zones Act, the Patriot Act in regards to domestic terrorism, the Matthew Shepard and James Byrd Jr. Hate Crimes Prevention Act, the Violent Interference with Federally Protected Rights Statute, and the Conspiracy Against Rights Statute, and an executive order to enforce all applicable federal laws, preclusion of further threats and violence against students and educators. Those are what they're using to back up their request, saying that all these things are hate crimes or they violate one of these acts or mandates. So they're coming after you. They're going to classify you as something one way or the other just for standing up for your rights, just for using your voice and doing what has been a natural freedom of expression in this country since it was founded. And now they're trying to shut that down. All right. I'm going to move on to the next issue. And this is a North Carolina House bill that was introduced. It's House Bill 354. It's titled The Hate Crimes Prevention Act, and this was March 23rd of 2021, and it's a bill to be entitled an act to increase the scope and punishment of hate crimes, to require the State Bureau of Investigation to create and maintain a hate crime statistics database, to require the North Carolina Justice Academy to develop and provide law enforcement officers with training on identifying, responding to, and reporting hate crimes, and to require the Conference of District Attorneys of North Carolina to develop and provide training to prosecutors on how to prosecute hate crimes. They go on further down. If any Class 2 or Class 3 misdemeanor is committed because of the victim's race, ethnicity, color, religion, nationality, or country of origin, gender, gender identity, gender expression, disability, or sexual orientation, the offender shall be guilty of a Class 1 misdemeanor. That's crossing a lot of lines. Gender identity, it says origin, gender, gender identity, gender expression, disability, or sexual orientation. And further on in here, if I can find it, under the felonious assault as a hate crime, it says gender identity, actual or perceived gender-related characteristics.
Rick, does this sound like it goes right along with the winner of almost every state national beauty contest? I'm for world peace.
Well, it was a few years ago, Bob.
This is really important to me. Gender identity, and it says actual or perceived gender-related characteristics. Now, I'm from the old school. If I see a man, and I'm going to say it, with a penis, uh-oh, I'm assuming because of biological evidence that it's a man.
Because I listen to the scientist.
But it says perceived gender-related characteristics. Well, I'm not perceiving it. It's there. It's realistic. If they perceive that they're not a man, Why should I be held guilty for something that...
I thought we weren't supposed to assume pronouns and assume their gender and assume their identity.
It's all insane.
What do you want from us?
Now, Rick, I have a problem with the whole concept of hate crime. If you assault somebody, you assaulted someone, and you need to be charged with assault. If you shoot somebody and they're dead, it really doesn't matter if you hated them or not. They're still dead. And this gets into thought police.
Yes, I agree with you entirely.
And I think it's a dangerous place to be. Assaulting someone, attacking someone, discriminating against someone, harming someone is wrong.
Right.
It doesn't matter what your motive is. It's still wrong.
An inappropriate act for the action. It's the action that's wrong. It doesn't talk to what was in your head when you did it. You misbehaved.
What was obviously in your head was obviously wrong.
And we've got plenty of laws on the book that cover
that. That's right.
Cover that.
Well, that's what I wanted to point out is that, yet again, this is an awful lot of work. We have our border bleeding. We still have so many issues with COVID. You know, we can't get our grocery store shelves stocked. I mean, do we not have enough issues? Do we need a lecture on what hate is and how to behave?
Right. Do we need more laws to cover?
I mean, you know, it's like a gun-free zone.
Right.
You know, they didn't stop. The criminals, it's not going to stop the criminals. Your little sign on the door is not going to stop them. If they want to go in with a gun, they're going to go in with a gun.
Well,
if someone's going to do a hate crime, they're going to do a hate crime. Is this what we need the House to be working on?
Well, most crimes aren't committed out of love, you know.
And can I point out that the last couple of hate crimes that were, you know, publicized widely by the media
were
hoaxes.
Yeah, hoaxes. Okay, as Chip just pointed out, we already have laws on the books. Governor DeSantis promising to defend parents at the school board meetings and all agrees with Chip. He says on Tuesday he released a statement saying Florida law already prohibits harassment of teachers, while adding that Florida law enforcement is perfectly capable of responding to crimes in Florida. And I think you feel the same way about North Carolina.
Yeah.
And we have never heard the FBI suggest otherwise. However, disagreement is not harassment.
Absolutely.
Protest is not terrorism unless it involves rioting, looting, and assault, like some of the left-wing protests of the summer of 2020. Again, all those actions are crimes in Florida and in North Carolina and will be prosecuted regardless of political context, the statement added.
Yeah, debate and questioning and disagreement is not considered a hate crime.
All right.
What? And it's I think it's healthy.
And you have seen protests at the school board meetings here recently, have you not?
My SROs are at all of them. I mean, they're at them whether there's going to be a big crowd or whether it's a closed meeting. We have SROs at all school related functions. That's just a policy we've had in place, and it's a good measure. It's.
Are you taking pictures and names and creating a database?
You know, we. No, I can honestly say we are not. I mean, especially when you know the majority of the people there by name.
Right.
I guess my database
Love
would
it.
Be in my head, maybe.
Yes,
You know, Rick, I wonder about when you go to a school board meeting and you go to sign up to speak before a school board meeting, and with a sign-up sheet, is the school board then forwarding that to Attorney General Garland so that I can be added to the terrorist list right then and there because I spoke before the school board?
I don't know. I can't answer that question because the school board doesn't even forward the minutes of its meetings to the public so that we know.
I think you just wondered if you had to speculate.
Yeah, if I had to speculate, they probably are free with that information to the Attorney General. Go ahead, Al.
You know, I see a definition here of a hate crime as a prejudice-motivated crime. That makes some sense to me. But I also know that a lot of times in trying to find a perpetrator or somebody who committed a crime, that motivation is considered. What would motivate somebody to do this or that? And I've often wondered why. Chip could probably answer this, because it seems to me the big question is, did they do it or did they not do it? And what motivated them to do it is immaterial as far as I'm concerned. What do you think?
I mean, really, it's not as much what motivated them to do. It's more of the act of the crime itself.
Absolutely.
You know, you know, assault is assault.
Right.
Murder is murder. You know, assault with a deadly weapon is assault with a deadly weapon. So it's very, and our laws are really pretty clear as to what you have to meet to meet the threshold of that and whether or not you're, you know, in violation of that law. So I'm not sure, you know, why the House did that. I haven't looked at the House members that sponsored it or what
they were. It was a group of Democrats.
Right, what the reasoning was. But, you know, at some point we get to where, you know, there's enough laws. Like, we don't need more gun laws.
Right.
I don't want to get off
right.
focus here. You know, we've got plenty of laws that govern, you know, our firearms. As a matter of fact, we've probably got too many.
Exactly.
Well, I've often stated that, you know, God gave us 10 commandments that pretty much covered everything. And now we've got 10 billion pages of laws out there that we have to try to enforce and abide by.
Maybe it makes them feel, maybe it, in their minds, they're justifying themselves for camping out in D.C. I don't know.
Yeah.
You know, in general, I agree that it's the act itself. However, if I were on a jury, I would listen to mitigating circumstances. Had the father of the young woman, child in Loudoun County who was attacked and raped, had he slugged that boy's father or slugged that boy, I'm not so sure I'd be all that upset with him.
Mm-hmm.
You know, there is the possibility of mitigating circumstances.
Mm-hmm. Oh, absolutely.
That's a good point, Raina. Thanks.
Yeah, I mean, I think all of us fathers are very protective of our daughters.
Hope so.
Well, I think that's where the passion comes in, you know, that we're seeing the passion at the school boards.
All right, we need to take another break to hear from our sponsors. We'll be right back.
At Professional Auto Service, keeping vehicles in top form and running well isn't just their business. It's the passion of folks who work there. If baling wire and duct tape is good enough, don't go near them. But if you take pride in your vehicle and reliability is important, go to 2215 Country Club Road in New Bern and let Professional Auto take care of your vehicle. You'll be pleased. That's Professional Auto Service, Country Club Road, New Bern.
Moore's Old Time Barbecue is slow cooked and smoked over hickory in the tradition of the Moore's family for over 70 years. Moore's also serves fried chicken, cooked to order seafood, and homemade side dishes. Open 7 days a week in New Bern, Winterville, Moorhead City, Swanspur, and Jacksonville. Moore's will cater and deliver anywhere you want your truly traditional barbecue and fixings delivered. And remember, if it's not Moore's, it's less.
Would you like to improve your overall health without the use of prescription drugs? Is stress causing you health concerns? Do you want more energy? We hope that you would like to experience optimum health the rest of your life. We offer a free nutritional consultation to the listeners of this radio program. Call the office of Gladys Sussell, Wellness Educator and Nutritional Consultant at 252-728-2118 to make an appointment to start your journey to optimum health.
County Compass is a rapidly growing, free, weekly newspaper throughout eastern North Carolina. At the County Compass, we believe small business is the future of our great nation. Many small business owners have discovered that an ad in the County Compass each week is the most effective, the most affordable way to reach thousands of readers from all walks of life. At the County Compass, we focus entirely on local and regional news. Coverage of important issues that directly affect your life. At the County Compass, we love our readers and we love our advertisers. This Thursday and every Thursday at more than 750 distribution points throughout eastern North Carolina, pick up your free copy of the County Compass newspaper.
Since 1952, the North Carolina Fisheries Association has been working to ensure access for fishermen and consumers to enjoy fresh local seafood. The North Carolina Fisheries Association is for fair, science-based fisheries management for commercial and recreational fishermen. If you agree with this philosophy, become a member. For more information, log on to ncfish.org. For fresh North Carolina seafood, there's no better place than B&J Seafood, Highway 70 East in New Bern. For news, commentary, and a different perspective, check out rightwinggranny.com. Hey, Granny's got it going on. See for yourself. Go to rightwinggranny.com.
Welcome back to CCTA Wake Up Call. Again, we have with us Chip Hughes, Sheriff of Craven County, and we sure appreciate his participation in our radio show. As always, Sheriff Hughes has always been eager to answer any questions we have. He comes to meetings. We typically bring in him and Asa Buck from Carter County, and Chip Davis from Chris Davis from Pamlico County.
Now you keep calling him Chip Davis. Listen, that's Chip, not the first time that's happened. That happened at the Lincoln Reagan Day dinner. They introduced him as Chip Davis. And I was like, this is awesome, man. I get double the name recognition for the price of one.
There you go.
Well, we appreciate when all three of you do participate like that, because interacting with the public that elected you and answering their questions, and that's an important...
We appreciate y'all asking the questions and holding folks accountable, and that's the beauty of this.
Well, the beauty of it actually is, so far, we haven't had to hold you accountable.
He has actually held himself accountable.
Absolutely.
In answering questions, so often the bottom line is, I answer to my electorate. Mm-hmm. And I can't exaggerate how much I appreciate that.
Well, it's so unusual, and I know in my lifetime, I mean, this is a first, not only to have a sheriff that I see all the time, right, not just behind a wheel, but I see you out interacting with the public all the time, but also to have a force on the East Coast, you know what I mean? It's like to have you guys there, and you were so vocal about standing up for our rights and that you were there because of us. And it's just, I really applaud you.
You know,
that.
Our Constitution, our North Carolina Constitution, is very, very clear about the office of sheriff and what we are required to do. You know, and we take an oath and we take it very seriously. And I hate that we lost Danny, Sheriff Heath, because he was such a wealth of knowledge and someone that I could lean on. But I've got two other great sheriffs that I work with, and we talk almost every day, and it's almost scary how lockstep we are together. So for me to have these veteran sheriffs that we all think alike, we all want to accomplish the same thing, and we all know that we answer to the people, is huge.
Yeah.
Not only that, it's evident to me that you're also very good friends and very close.
Yes, sir. Absolutely.
By the way, thank you for the canines back on the Mum Fest.
Yeah, that was fun. And that's the first time we were able to do
so
that.
It was so awesome. And it was
folks,
great.
I will promise you that anytime we have any concerns about something going on with federal intrusion into our county, or the Attorney General of our state, or anybody stepping out of line, we'll pick up the phone and call Chip. And we'll get him in here, and you can hear his views on it. Matter of fact, every time I've called him, he either answers the phone immediately, or if he's busy, he calls me back within just a few minutes. And
it's not that y'all are such great friends. I mean, it's you have got to have hundreds of people who do that to you all the time. Mm-hmm. You know,
it's really humbling.
Aw.
It is, and I'm just blessed. I'm very thankful. And, you know, really all the praise goes to my team and to the citizens of Craven County for supporting us, because without their support, we could not be successful at what we do.
Well, you've earned their support.
Yeah, you wouldn't
and
be
your
supported
team,
if you weren't that way.
I have a story about your team, your deputies. I had an encounter with them. I was driving through James City, and I came up to the stoplight that I've come up to all my life. I was born and raised here. So for, let's see, 60, so for over 50 years, I've been driving these roads. My subconscious didn't see the sign that said no turn on red. I'd always been able to turn on red
Most places you can.
And I turned on red, and
they turned on red.
I was going by the Bojangles.
And no,
I
they turned them on blue.
I saw them sitting down there, and they just pulled up, and I thought they were being polite. They were letting me turn into Bojangles. And as soon as I turned in, the blue lights came on. Now, the embarrassing part of it was, on the side of my truck was Rick Hopkins for school board. So it wasn't helping my campaign any. But they were very polite, and they informed me, did you see the sign? And I was honest. I said, no. I saw the red light, but I didn't see the sign. I didn't pay any attention. They said, well, it's clearly marked no turn on red. I said, well, I apologize.
And has been there for years, might I point out. But
well, I know it now because I've had a real rude awakening. But they were very polite and very professional, and I appreciated the way they handled it.
Well, I have a question. I want to get into what is your opinionship on what Mark Robinson is going through right now with our education and his stance on it.
Right. Well, I mean, obviously, every word that he, you know, speaks is dissected by the left multiple times. And, you know, they really do not care for him because he is our voice. He represents everybody across the board equally. He is not a politician, okay? He is the regular everyday person that has been given nothing. Everything he's gotten has been through hard work.
Yeah.
You know, and he's not into, I'm entitled to this. That infuriates him, actually. So, you know, I think it's very unfortunate. And I think what they realize is that he is going to be our next governor.
Thinking that myself.
He is going to be our next governor, and I'm sure that drives them crazy. But I'll tell you, he is one of the best things that has happened to the state of North Carolina.
Absolutely.
He loves law enforcement so much. When he was here, he was talking to me. He said, what's the chances of you swearing me in as one of your deputies? And I said, you know, we really need to talk about this because that is a great idea. You know, I would love to have you on my SWAT team, being the first one through the door.
Just the voice.
But, you know, he was so serious about it and so passionate about it. And he cares about it. Even the people that hate him,
right.
He cares about it. He's like, you know what? They might not like me. They might not agree. But you know what? I still love them. I still represent them. I will still fight to defend their rights to the end. And I think that truly, you know, someone that is that passionate, that truthful, that open, I think that just drives them crazy. And I tell you, it every time I hear him, and I've heard him speak 50 times.
Yeah.
Every time it just gets better and better. And you look at him, you know he's a man of God. He truly cares about the people of North Carolina. He's not trying to build a resume. You know, he is calling it. It is real talk. He's calling it like it is.
Right.
And it's not built all around the Second Amendment either. He's knowledgeable on
He's
so many subjects.
And to the point that you were making there about not being a politician and he's fighting for everybody's rights, that's how he got started in this. He went to his meeting to fight for Second Amendment rights, and he didn't even own a firearm. He was standing up for all of our rights because it was a constitutional right, and they were trying to take it away. So, yeah, he does that.
And just to kind of bring everyone up to speed here, what's going on with our lieutenant governor is that he is standing up very strongly for education to be what it was meant to be and for what it's supposed to be about. And he is calling out what he calls the filth in our education system. Now, I know if you go and ask and you call, they're going to tell you, no, it is not taught there. You can go in the library, you can go in the school library classrooms, and you can find those books.
And you can talk to students who will tell you, yeah.
In fact, well, we've done that. And I don't want to mention his name, but a young man told us CCTA members at one of the business meetings just recently talked about.
Well, that's you're not going to walk into the classroom and it's going to be written on the board. Today, we are going to talk about gender fluidity or gender identity. It's not going to be that. It is the stance, the mindset of how the liberal teachers are thinking that comes across to these students. You know, they have their flags up there. They have their gay pride. They have, you know, their Black Lives Matter and all that stuff. And that is, you know, instigates a conversation. And, yeah, you're going to pick the books.
It's not official curriculum,
exactly,
but it is
exactly
still being
but
presented.
You're
going
to pick the books that are, you know, you're not reading Goodnight Moon to them. You're reading Bob Has Two Dads, you know.
Well, and one of the things that was mentioned was material presented was pornography.
Yes.
Plain and simple.
Oh, it absolutely was.
Yeah.
He showed the images.
Yes.
Well, the convincing thing to me was at that public hearing when one person said she had taught in five counties, I believe it was, in North Carolina, and she taught CRT over 30 years in all of them.
Uh-huh.
That was convincing evidence to me.
Oh, for sure.
Right. Well, we got to get one more break in here before we wind the show up, and we're going to do that. Listen to these messages from our sponsors. Please go out, visit them, tell them you heard about them on CCTA Wake Up Call.
Torque Transmission and Automotive Repair is the transmission physician in the New Bern area. If you're experiencing transmission problems, call Charles Grover at 252-637-2399 or stop by the shop on 17 South in New Bern. Torque can install a new or reconditioned transmission, or they can rebuild your transmission if that's what you prefer. See Torque for a variety of minor automotive repairs like brakes, tune-ups, and water pump. You can count on Torque Transmission and Automotive Repair.
Hey folks, here's a tip. When you think firearms and ammo, think East 70 Palm. They've been on Highway 70 east of New Bern across from the fairgrounds for 31 years. Drew Preston and his staff know firearms. Gun sales have tripled in under a year, and women shooters are the fastest growing part of their business. Their great inventory, over 300 guns in stock, changes daily. And if you want something they don't have, they'll look for it. New and used, rifles, shotguns, and pistols, buy, sell, or trade. And they also have many holsters, scopes, and other gun accessories. Every member of the staff is deeply knowledgeable, and every one of them is an excellent shooter. So don't just come for the inventory. Come for the thoughtful advice. East 70 Palm, your home for firearms, ammo, and answers. Highway 70 East, New Bern, across from the fairgrounds.
For news, commentary, and a different perspective, check out RightWingGranny.com. Hey, Granny's got it going on. See for yourself. Go to RightWingGranny.com.
Moore's Old Time Barbecue is slow cooked and smoked over hickory in the tradition of the Moore's family for over 70 years. Moore's also serves fried chicken, cooked to order seafood, and homemade side dishes. Open 7 days a week in New Bern, Winterville, Moorhead City, Swansboro, and Jacksonville. Moore's will cater and deliver anywhere you want your truly traditional barbecue and fixings delivered. And remember, if it's not Moore's, it's less.
You know how you feel when your hair looks great? Why not have that feeling regularly? You can if you let Kristen Toller be your secret weapon. Kristen is one half of the dynamic duo at Creative Hair by Patsy. They cut hair for both men and women, and they understand that one style does not fit all. Each person has some styles that look great, while others would be not so great. And as for the question to color or not to color, only you can answer that. But if you decide you want the lift a bit of color can add, you're in good hands with Kristen. She's great with color. So go ahead, give Kristen a call at 252-636-5741 and book an appointment. That's 636-5741. You know you want to do it.
Welcome back to CCTA Wake Up Call. Again, Chip Hughes, Craven County Sheriff, has been with us today as our special guest, and we appreciate his input and answering our questions. And Chip, before you go, have you got any closing remarks?
Yeah, when we go back to just address what we've gone over today, this letter from the Attorney General and the association that wrote the president, Not sure where all this took place, how it got so much attention, but I would like to reassure the folks here in Eastern North Carolina, and I can speak on behalf of Sheriff Buck and Sheriff Davis, that our schools are very safe. We take pride in the people that our teams that are in there. Whenever we get anything that is a credible threat, and I can tell you we've had next to none, we have dealt with it immediately at the local level. At no time have we needed to reach to even our state or federal counterparts to call in for resources or backup. We are well-trained law enforcement professionals, and we take pride in what we do. And school security and the safeguard of these children and educators, these children, which are our future, our greatest assets, we take pride in making sure that they are in a safe environment. And I'm happy to say that I feel great about all of our schools in Craven County. My people do an outstanding job protecting these people. And I get no complaints. I get nothing but praises about our SROs. And when I walk through these schools and they know their SROs by first name or Mr. Thomas, and I ask them, I said, do you feel safe here? And they're like, yes, sir, I do. I really do. I said, doesn't it make it easier for you to learn here when you feel safe? And we all know that's a proven fact.
Yes.
And they say, yes, I do. Okay. I mean, that's what we are in it about.
Right.
So that's my remarks on this. I'm shocked that someone would actually take the time to put this out and actually think that there's going to be a bunch of locals that just bow down and do whatever.
Right. Well, we appreciate your efforts and all that you do, and please pass that on to your deputies and your resource officers.
Also, one more thing.
Yes.
Please keep my deputy, Bellingham, who was shot, in your prayers, in your thoughts and prayers.
Absolutely.
We are so ready for him to come back, but he's going to have a long road.
Absolutely, we'll do. Hal, wrap us up with a quick introduction to this month's public meeting.
All right. I'm very pleased, and I might say proud, of what we're going to be doing at our next meeting. Melanie Ray, Craven County Director of Elections, is going to give us the local perspective. We're going to play the Mike Lindell video of Absolute 9-0. What he's referring to there is when this gets to the Supreme Court, there'll be a 9-0 vote that the election was tampered with. We'll have another short video by Doug Gould. Doug is a member of CCTA, and he's also on Mike Lindell's team. He is an expert in cybersecurity, and I think we'll really enjoy that too. And then we'll have some time, I believe, left over for a group discussion of what happened and what we must do about it. All this takes place at 7 p.m. Tuesday, October the 18th. The 19th, Tuesday, October the 19th, Stanley Hall Ballroom, New Bern, North Carolina. The elevator entrance to the second floor ballroom is at 249 Craven Street.
All right. Well, thank you for that, Hal. Hal is our program chairman, and he lines up these programs, and they always are very well attended and very successful. It's open to the public for all to attend, and all the details are at cctaxpayers.com. Come and visit our website and join us on Telegram. The link's on our homepage.
People who learn to do something well and do it often get very good at it. Dr. Jay Singleton and his staff spend a lot of time removing cataracts, and they are good at it. Dr. Singleton has been doing a high volume of these procedures for 15 years. Let's face it, once we turn 50, the chances are we'll soon need cataract surgery. Fortunately, the Singleton Vision Center is conveniently located at 3515 Trent Road in New Bern, and the state-of-the-art Singleton Surgery Center is bringing costs down for patients and participating insurance companies. For dedication, experience, and convenience, you can trust the Singleton team. Dr. Jay Singleton and the Singleton Vision Center is conveniently located at 3515 Trent Road in New Bern.
Would you like to improve your overall health without the use of prescription drugs? Is stress causing you health concerns? Do you want more energy? We hope that you would like to experience optimum health the rest of your life. We offer a free nutritional consultation to the listeners of this radio program. Call the office of Gladys Sussell, Wellness Educator and Nutritional Consultant, at 252-728-2118 to make an appointment to start your journey to optimum health.
Since 1952, the North Carolina Fisheries Association has been working to ensure access for fishermen and consumers to enjoy fresh local seafood. The North Carolina Fisheries Association is for fair, science-based fisheries management for commercial and recreational fishermen. If you agree with this philosophy, become a member. For more information, log on to ncfish.org. For fresh North Carolina seafood, there's no better place than B&J Seafood, Highway 70 East in New Bern. For news, commentary, and a different perspective, check out rightwinggranny.com. Hey, Granny's got it going on. See for yourself. Go to rightwinggranny.com.
At Professional Auto Service, keeping vehicles in top form and running well isn't just their business. It's the passion of folks who work there. If baling wire and duct tape is good enough, don't go near them. But if you take pride in your vehicle and reliability is important, go to 2215 Country Club Road in New Bern and let Professional Auto take care of your vehicle. You'll be pleased. That's Professional Auto Service, Country Club Road, New Bern.